to Amanda, my beautiful daughter. Last week at church, Reverend Alberts was preaching about coming home. He was talking about how God is always ready to give us a second chance. And he read that same story that I used to read you when you were younger. A story about a son who gets angry with his father, runs away, loses everything that he once loved. But then, eventually, the boy realizes what he's lost, and he decides to go home. He's ashamed of what he's done. And when he arrives home, the father is there. The father is waiting for him. But before the boy can even get to the house, the father runs to him and embraces him, and he welcomes him back home. Child gets a second chance. The way it's written, it seems like even if the son never came home, the father would still have been waiting. That's how much he loved his child. I've been thinking a lot about this story lately. I don't know everything that's been going on these last few years. I know that you've been let down by others. I know that working three jobs was exhausting. I know that being a single mother was a huge responsibility. You may have felt like you were doing the best thing for Will when you left. Or maybe you didn't. I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot more that I don't know. A lot of pain and hurt and pressure that you're feeling. I don't claim to understand it all, but I do know that I miss my daughter. And so does your little one, and so does your mother. I'd like to think that story from the Bible, that's us, me and you. On the day you come home, I'll be there. I'll run out to you, and I'll hug you, and I'll throw the biggest party that you've ever seen. I would be endlessly happy for you to be home. But I'm afraid it might not happen that way. The cancer is spreading in my lungs, and each day has become more and more difficult to endure. Part of why I'm writing this letter is just to say that I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I might be gone before you return. But I still hope you do, with or without me. It may not be easy. You may feel like you don't belong anymore. We don't always get the chance to fix all the things that get broken in life. There's a whole world of I'm sorries that may never get spoken. We may not get to say all the goodbyes. And if I don't get to see your smile again, if I don't get another chance to tell you you're beautiful, if I don't get to be there for dinner or to wrap the presents with the kids, if I'm not there, then I just want you to know one thing. The story is still true. You'll always be welcome home. Some people will give you a second chance. Some might not. But I know Reverend Alberts was right. God will always give you a second chance. He will always be there. ready for you, waiting for you.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing, and I've seen it about a dozen times. You know, God gets the fact that we lose our way sometimes, just like the woman in that video. God, just like the father said in that story, God loves to give second chances. I mean, his arms are open wide to welcome us home. In fact, that's what the whole reason Jesus came, the whole reason God sent Jesus. Jesus is God's second chance for us. Jesus is God with his arms open wide, welcoming us home. That's what he loves to do. You know, when Jesus was physically walking on this planet, he would often call people to repent. And for a lot of years of my life, I thought the word repent meant to feel really sorry about something or to feel really guilty about what you've done wrong. But it doesn't mean that at all. To repent, you know what it means? Repent means to change your mind. Repent means to turn around. And so, in a sense, every time Jesus called people to repent, what he was saying was, come back home. Come back home to me. Now, not everybody got that, though. There's this man named Luke. Luke was one of the followers of Jesus early on, and he was one of the four men that wrote a record of Jesus's life that's in the Bible. It's about Jesus, but we call it Luke. And in Luke chapter 15, Luke tells us of this time, as I tie my shoe, Luke tells us of this time when Jesus was speaking. And this crowd of people gathered around him, which is what people almost always did whenever Jesus spoke. And in this crowd were some people that others might consider undesirable. They were tax collectors and thieves, which were basically synonymous. There were drunkards, there were prostitutes, but there were also just normal people, but normal people whose lives had been broken, maybe by their decisions, maybe by the decisions of others. Maybe they'd been betrayed sometime in their life. Maybe they'd seen some dream that they had for their life just come crumbling down. And there they were, Jesus was speaking, and they would gather to him. And there was also another group of people that were there, and they were self-righteous and judgmental, and they grumbled and they complained. They criticized Jesus. They didn't like how he welcomed these undesirable people. And Luke says in chapter 15, he says, in response to the criticism, Jesus told four stories. He tells a story of a lost sheep. And he says, suppose that you have 100 sheep and one of those sheep goes missing. Don't you leave the 99 that are in the field and go off and look for that sheep? Don't you try to find it? And when you find it, you don't curse it. You don't kick it. What do? You pick it up. You put it on your shoulders. You're happier that you found that sheep than the fact that the other 99 didn't run away. And as you go home and walk through the village and people say, Joe, how was your day? Don't you walk around saying, man, I lost one of my sheep. I thought he was gone, but I found it. You rejoice, don't you? Jesus said. You know, people can be like that. You know, my granddaddy raised sheep on his ranch. And sheep, they don't wander off because they're evil. They don't wander off because they're rebellious. Sheep, they're so focused on meeting their needs, which is chiefly hunger for a sheep, they just munch themselves into a place of being separated from the flock and from the shepherd, and they just wind up lost, not because they wanted to. They weren't rebellious. They just got focused on fulfilling their need. And we're like that sometimes. You know, every one of us, I think deep in the core of who we are, we're all asking three basic questions. We're asking, who am I? We're asking, am I loved? And we're asking, what's my purpose on this earth? If you think about it, those three questions, they're really what drive us. And sometimes we get so focused on answering those three questions, and we wind up answering them the wrong way. We start using, I don't know, money or our job as a way of validating ourselves, of self-identification. We identify ourselves by what we do. Sometimes we use the responses of other people, which you and I both know can be good one day and bad another. We use the responses of other people, their praise, their affirmation, or their criticism to determine whether we feel loved or not. Sometimes we do that with people in person. Sometimes we do it digitally with people on social media. And sometimes our whole life's purpose is about our job or getting that next thing, that next car, that next house. If only we could get that next thing, then we'd feel good. Then we'd feel like we mattered. The problem is, in every one of us, there is this, I don't know, this God-shaped hole kind of thing. And no matter what else we put into it, there's just never enough. Unless we fill it with God, we wind up feeling empty, and often we feel broken, and often we leave a trail of brokenness behind us. And you know why Jesus tells the story about the lost sheep? It's because he wants us to know he's looking for people like that. He wants people like that. And when he finds them, he doesn't kick them or curse them. When he finds them, he holds his arms wide open and he says, "Welcome home." Jesus also told a story of a lost coin. He says, there was this woman and she had 10 coins, and each coin was worth like a day's wages for a common laborer in that time. And maybe they were just loose coins. Some people think that maybe they were part of a necklace kind of collar thing that a woman might wear at a special occasion, like a wedding or something like that. But whatever it was, she loses one of those coins, and she is desperate to find it. And you know, houses in those days without electricity, they were darker than our houses are. And so she is moving furniture around. She can't find it. She searches high, she searches low. She sweeps everything, thinking that maybe she'll hear the clink of metal, or maybe the light through the window might just reflect off the coin. And when she's about to give up hope, she finds it. She finds the coin, and she is so happy. For the rest of the week, the rest of the month, when people say, "How's your week going?" she says, "Let me tell you, I thought I'd lost one of my special coins, and I looked everywhere, and I was desperate to find it, and I did." You know, coins are different from sheep. Sheep, they wander off, but coins, if a coin is lost, then it means that someone lost it. And people are like that. Sometimes the people that should have nurtured us and should have encouraged us were the ones that discouraged us. Maybe you experienced that. Maybe someone disciplined you more harshly than they should. Maybe someone said, "You'll never amount to anything," or, "Why can't you be more like so-and-so?" Or, "You know what? You never do anything right." Anybody heard any of those? Those things are like arrows that just pierce our heart. And I don't care how old you get, those things can be infected and determine the way that we perceive ourselves and God. Sometimes the person who should have protected you was the one who abused you. The one who could have kept you safe was the one who perpetrated violence or a crime against you. Maybe the person that made a promise to you, a promise till death do us part, was the very person who betrayed you. You didn't lose yourself. Someone lost you. Sometimes that happens to us. Jesus tells the story of the lost coin because he wants us to know he's looking for people like that. And when he finds them, he holds his arms open wide and he says, "Welcome home. Welcome home." Jesus also told a story. It's actually two stories in one. It was about a man who had two sons. And one of the stories is about the younger son. He goes to his dad. Imagine this. He goes to his father and he demands that his father give him his inheritance now. "I want my half of the inheritance now." And you may and the father gives it to him. Now you may think, wow, that was dumb. Why would a daddy do that? But in reality, it's a bit like God. God gives us a life and he gives us freedom and he gives us the ability to choose. And he says, here it is. And he lets us do with it what we want and he holds us responsible for it. And so the father gives the son his half of the inheritance. And Jesus said, and the son immediately traveled to a foreign country. And he squanders, he wastes every penny in lavish living and wild living. He goes from being at the top of the party scene, good time Charlie, buying everybody drinks, to the bottom of the pit with everyone having abandoned him. And to make matters worse, Jesus said, the economy collapses in that country and the guy can't find any work. And the only job he can find is to feed the pigs in somebody's field. And he's so hungry sometimes, Jesus said, that he even is tempted to eat what the pigs are eating. And when he's at the lowest of the low, overwhelmed with shame and guilt and regret for the decisions that he's made, it dawns on him, wait a second. Every one of my father's servants has more than enough to eat. I mean, I know I'm not worthy to be a son anymore. I know I can't be part of the family, but maybe my dad would let me come back and hire me as a servant in his field. And so he leaves that country and he begins to make his way back to his home country. And Jesus says that while the son was still a long way off, the father sees him at a distance. Because the father, you see, had been waiting and hoping, praying that the son would return. And when he sees the son from a long way off, and he doesn't wait for him to arrive, he runs out to meet him. And as soon as the daddy gets to his boy, the boy, anticipating condemnation, I guess, says, Dad, I know I'm not worthy to be a son, and I'm hoping maybe you'll let me work in your field as a servant. You know how sometimes you just got to get it all out before the other person has a chance to speak. And so he speaks that. And Jesus says the daddy just ignores him, ignores that little scripted plea. And instead says, oh, my son, calls him my son, you're home. And he turns to his servants and he says, go get a robe and put it on his back and go find the ring and put it on his finger, all symbols of honor, all symbols of sonship. And then he says, go kill the fatted calf, put it on the grill. We're having a barbecue. My boy, that's Texas. I'm just contextualizing. My boy is home and we're going to have a party. And he brings the son back home and they celebrate. You know, people, we can be like that son. You know, the son is different from a sheep. Sheep just wanders off and sometimes gets entangled in things that it didn't mean to get entangled with. A coin gets lost by someone, but this son, well, if this son was lost, it was his own fault. He knew what he should have done. He knew it was crazy to ask for his inheritance up front. And he takes it. He knew going to a foreign land and living this wild lifestyle, he knew that was wrong. And he did it anyway. And sometimes we're like that. We know what we ought to do, but we just say, you know what? I want to do it my way. And when we do it our way, again, we try to fill that God-shaped hole, that God-shaped space. We try to fill it with all kinds of things that can never fill it. Again, we try to fill it with the praise of other people or accumulation of more money or possessions or trying to gain more influence, whatever. And we almost always wind up in a place of brokenness, feeling empty. Sometimes we find ourselves addicted or trapped with alcohol or drugs or pornography or any number of other things. Sometimes we find ourselves having left a string of broken relationships behind us, broken promises, and we're lost, and it's our fault. We made the decision. But you know the reason why Jesus tells this story is because he wants us to know he's looking for people like that. And when he finds them, he doesn't condemn them. He doesn't heap shame upon them. Like the father in that story, he holds his arms open wide and he says, "Welcome home." That's what he says. But remember, that father had two sons. And that was the fourth story that Jesus told. It was of the older son. When the younger son came home, the older son was working out in a field overseeing a crew. And he hears this commotion and servants tell him that his younger brother has come home and the dad, and your dad is throwing a party for him. And the older son is indignant and he refuses to go in. He's angry. The daddy goes out the same way the shepherd went out for the sheep, the same way the woman went out looking for the coin, the same way the daddy had looked for the younger son. The daddy goes out to the older son and he says, "Son, come in. We're having a feast." And the older son says, "I can't believe you. I've done everything right. My entire life I've worked for you. And not once did you throw a party for me. And now my younger brother comes after having shamed our name and wasting half of everything you've ever worked for. And you throw a feast for him." And the father says, "Oh, my son, don't you know? You have always been with me. And everything I have belongs to you now. But your younger brother was dead and he has come back to life and we have to celebrate." Sometimes we can be like that older brother. We try to answer those three questions by doing everything right. We're going to be a good person, as if we think that God has this cosmic scale and he's weighing out, did you do more good things than bad things? And if we do good things, we feel good about ourselves. And if we do bad things, we feel like we have to make up for it to balance the scale again. And sometimes we use comparison. We look at other people and we find people worse than us. And so we feel better. Or we find people that are better than us and we feel worse. Whatever it is, there's no amount of working harder. There's no amount of comparison that will ever fill that God-shaped space that's in our heart. Jesus is the only one that can do that. And Jesus tells the story of the older son so we'll know. He's about a relationship. You remember how the father said, "Oh, my son." He didn't say, "You have done everything right." He doesn't say that. He says, "My son, you have always been with me." That's what the father wants. He wants a relationship. Jesus tells this story so we'll know that he's looking for people who all their lives have been measuring themselves by trying to do good and working really hard, but have found themselves distant from him. He's looking for people like us. And he holds his arms out open wide and he says, "Welcome home." You know, there's a song that I have been listening to the last couple of weeks. I asked Brian and the guys to come up and play it for you. Have you ever gotten one of those songs that, like, when you hear it, you're like, "Oh, wow." Like, it just speaks directly to where you are. And then, of course, you wear it out for the next couple of weeks. That's what I've been doing. I haven't worn it out yet. You see, I don't know where you are right now, but my bet is that a number of us here made a decision to trust and to follow Jesus. Maybe years ago when you were a kid, or whether when you were a young adult or sometime, and for a season you felt close to God and you were part of a church family and it was good and you felt connected. But then, I don't know, maybe we drifted somehow. I mean, there's a million reasons why people drift. You move and you lost that church and you couldn't find another one, or you got a new job and it was consuming you. And so you just, and all your spiritual disciplines kind of fell to the wayside, or maybe you went through a hard time and your heart was broken and you blame God for that. I don't know. I want you to know this. If you put your trust in Him, He has not given up on you, okay? And He's telling you today, welcome home. That's what He's doing. I also imagine that there's some of us today that may be hearing this side, this picture of God's heart, these four stories that Jesus told. Maybe you're hearing it for the first time. Maybe you relate to the coin or the sheep, the younger son or the older son, or maybe there's intricacies of your own situation that are different, but you feel distant from Him. He's asking you. He's welcoming you. He's encouraging you. Will you come home? Will you come home? I want you to hear this song, and I want you to just think, what is my decision today? Am I coming back and I just need to come reconnect with God and His family? Is today the day that for the first time I need to make a decision to say yes to Him? I'm done living my own way. Just take a moment to think as Brian sings this song. Let me tell you what's true about Jesus. Why we make a big deal out of this day, out of all the other days of the year. God tells us in the Bible that all of us have chosen not to trust Him. And when we don't trust Him, we don't follow Him. And when we don't follow Him, we wind up going our own way, trying to fill that God-shaped hole with other things. And we always wind up breaking His commands. We always wind up going a different way, and it always leads to a place of brokenness and emptiness to one degree or another. And the whole purpose of Jesus coming to earth was to offer His life as a sacrifice. When He died, He was taking our guilt upon Himself. He was taking our shame upon Himself. He was offering Himself as a substitute for us. And when God raised Him from the dead 3 days later, He was showing that He has the power to restore. He has the power to heal that brokenness. He has the power to reconcile you to God. He has the power to welcome you home. And He tells us, anyone who repents, remember, turns back and comes back home to Him. Anyone who decides, I'm going to trust You, Jesus. I've had enough time doing this. I'm going to trust You. Anyone who puts their trust in Jesus and begins to follow Him is instantly wrapped up in His family. Instantly. You don't clean yourself up first. You don't get your ducks in a row. You don't make amends for all the mistakes that I've made or you've made or I've made. We just instantly are wrapped up in His family. The cleanup process takes place in the family. And here's what I want you to do for a moment. Just like me, close your eyes and give yourself just a bit of privacy, a bit of space mentally here. If today you're feeling that pull on your heart, maybe you've resisted God your whole life. Maybe you know, yeah, I've gone my own way, but maybe today you're saying, today I want to come home to Jesus. I'm gonna tell you how to do that. And if you do it with me and your heart means it, everything is about to change for you right now. The power of God is going to change something in you forever, but you have to decide. If you want to come home, then tell God this in your heart. God, I have gone my own way. I haven't trusted you. I've been trying to fill that God-shaped hole with everything but you. But today, I repent. Today, I'm changing my mind. Today, I put my trust in Jesus. And I make the decision to follow him. Will you receive me back? Ask him that. Will you ask God that? God, will you receive me back? Let him answer that. Let his thoughts come into your mind. Can you see his smile? He told you 4 stories. Can't you see his arms open wide for you right now? Don't you see his face just lit up because he's been wanting you to come home? From the moment you were born, he's been wanting you to be his. Can't you see that? Can you open your arms wide to meet his wide open hug? You're home. You're home. And now, though you can't see him with your physical eyes, in the spiritual realm, Jesus is going to begin working in your life the same way that he's saying to you right now in your heart and in your mind, you're his. You're safe. You're mine now. It's going to be okay now. We're going to start putting it back together right now. He's going to give you power for that. All because of what he's done, and because right now you decided to follow him. But I want to ask you to do something. No one else is going to be looking. It's just me. But you just made a decision, and I want to help you draw a line in the sand. Drive a stake in the ground so you know that you made a decision to follow him and to trust him. You made a decision to come home. And so I want you to do something a little brave. I want you to raise your hand right now. If you made that decision, come on. Yeah. If you made that decision, I'm putting my trust in him. I'm going to follow Jesus. Raise your hand. You're doing it mainly for you, but I'm seeing it and I'm affirming you. I'm saying, yes, that's the right thing to do. That's the right thing to do. You can put your hands down. But here's what I want to tell you something. When you can look at me, everybody. When you put your trust in Jesus, I know up to this point, we've just been talking to a bunch of individuals. You've been considering this in your own self, you and God. But when you put your trust in Jesus, he's a father, you're a child, and he brings you into his family. And I want you to see and hear and feel what it's like to be part of a family, okay? But you can't do it right where you are. And so I'm going to ask you to do something. They told me never to do this when I was in seminary, but it's worth doing. It's worth doing. In a moment, if you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to stand up. Because when you stand up, you're going to see and hear and feel what it's like to be part of a family. And it's going to be really cool. So on the count of 3, would you be brave? Would you just stand and see what it's like? 1, 2. two, three. If you raised your hand, stand up. Come on, stand up. Stand up. Come on. Let's all stand up and stand up around them. Go shake their hand. Go give them a hug. Just say welcome to the family. Because this is what Jesus does. He makes a family out of people that are all separated. That's what he's doing right now. And we're going to celebrate. I don't have barbecue for you, but I got this guy. Let's just sing a song of celebration and celebrate what God's done as he makes us part of his family. I'm going to tell you something. This day is not just a day. It's not a day of hype. It's not a day of trying to stir your emotions. It's a day of celebrating because everything we've talked about is true. Jesus is the King, died and raised from the dead. And I don't know what God spoke to your heart today, but I want to give you two next steps, okay? Put it on the screen for me. Today, if you made a decision to follow Jesus, let's really put it on the screen for me now. There we go. Sometimes you just got to get after him. So if today you made a decision for the first time to follow Jesus, would you text the name Jesus to that number? Because here's what we want to do on Tuesday night, this coming Tuesday. We're going to have, a seminar. Just what do you do when you decide to follow Jesus? How do you make sense of the Bible? And we just want to help you on your journey as part of the family. Would you text the name Jesus simply to this number? One of our team, our friendly team, will reach out to you and say, here are the details of the Tuesday night seminar. We'd love to have you. You don't need to bring anything. Just come on, okay? Today, though, some of you may have been coming back home. Maybe you made that decision a long time ago to trust Jesus, but you drifted away. Maybe you haven't been in a church like this since this time last year. I don't care. Jesus doesn't care either. Today's the day that you can reconnect. If you're wanting to reconnect with the church family and know more about Crossbridge and how you can actually get connected, we want to encourage you with that. We don't want this to be a mountaintop, a mountain peak, and then you just slide down. We want to help. We want to help you. Would you text the word family to this number? And we'll help you reconnect. We've got another Tuesday night seminar that we're going to have. We're just going to tell you how to connect so that you know you're not alone. That's what we're doing. We don't want anyone to walk alone. I'm glad you came today.